Hare, Sr., brother and sister. Gisborne, New Zealand, October 24, 1893. Mr. and Mrs. Hare, Sr., KO, New Zealand. Dear Father and Mother Hare, I have not forgotten you, although I have not written you as frequently as I designed to when I left KO. I have had much hard labor to do both in writing and in speaking. We remember your kindness and attention to us with pleasure and thankfulness. We will be much pleased to see you again. We feel sad to know that Sister Hare had been sick. We trust that she is better, and we sincerely hope that the Lord will prolong her life, that she may continue to be a faithful counselor to her children and a blessing to many. With this, I send you a short history of our meetings in Gisborne. One half-caste Maori woman has embraced the truth and was baptized last Sabbath. Several others, we have learned, have decided to take their position with the commandment-keeping people of God. And there are others who are under conviction. We hope and pray that through the grace of Christ given them, they will have moral courage to take their position to be loyal and true to their Creator. There has not been much labor bestowed upon them in this place. Robert Hare was here some years ago. They say his labors were very much appreciated in this place at that time. But the teachers turn away the ears of the people, lest they shall hear the truth. They repeat falsehoods and cast all the insinuations they can possibly gather up in hearsay, and manufacture the rest themselves, until the people honestly believe that Seventh-day Adventists are the offscouring of all things. The laborers that have been put forth here will certainly open some eyes and will break down a large amount of this unreasonable, cruel prejudice. The Lord has made every provision on His part that we should have strong faith, growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He would have us be fruit-bearing branches of the living vine. Christ said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you." John 15, verse 8, 11, 12. We see so much work to be done every way and in every place, and we turn mournfully from the field where they are in suffering need of workers, saying, "The harvest is great, but the laborers are few." Luke 10, verse 2. The workers need daily the divine touch. We need so much consecrated spiritual worshipers. We have great, precious, solid truths which the people need, and we are longing to present the jewels of truth before them. But they are instructed by their teachers to turn away their ears from hearing the truth, and they are turned unto fables. We must cultivate faith to hold fast the Word of God, as authoritative in this age of skepticism and infidelity. Our faith and practice must harmonize. We can, through Christ, stand in full assurance of faith, and by precept and example declare, "We have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty." 2 Peter 1, verse 16. Oh, that we may individually have spiritual discernment and clearness of perception, that we may know the light and truth from error and darkness. Our hearts are to be prepared to catch the bright beams from the Sun of Righteousness, and catch the melodies of heavenly strains, and reflect light in cheerful words of hope, faith, compassion, and love in the everyday life. There are souls around us starving for light. They are hungry for kindly, sympathizing words. Words of appreciation which will be uplifting, and will strengthen them in moral courage to work righteousness. We long to tell everyone, "Look to Jesus. Trust in Jesus. He will never disappoint you. You will find in Him all that precious depth and love of affection that you cannot find in any human being. He carries the balm of Gilead. He can soothe the restless discontents. He can heal by a love that is immeasurable. The soul can rest for its satisfying in Jesus Christ, our sufficiency. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. The water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." John 7, verse 37, 4:14. As Christ was about to leave his disciples, to yield his life as a sacrifice for man, he said to them, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." John 14, verse 27. Losing sight of ourselves and looking unto Jesus, we obtain brighter and still more glorious views of God. Our hearts are melted with the contemplation of His great love in giving us Jesus, the priceless gift. We will receive Jesus. We will appreciate the Lord's gift of His only begotten Son. We will heed the words of John, "Behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world." John 1, verse 29. We see in Him the perfection of grace, truth, and righteousness. To as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Verse 12. We consider that love. We repeat with grateful wonder, "For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John 3, verse 16. Our hearts are full of thankfulness for this priceless love. We exclaim, "He so loved me, He gave me Jesus. I receive Him as my personal Savior. He is the God of forgiveness, the God of compassion, the God of love. I receive now the precious gift of Jesus. He is mine, and I am His." As we behold Him, our character becomes more and more beautiful and cheerful and lovable. We show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Why is there so much silence everywhere? Why are not the praises of God heard from every voice? We contemplate Jesus and His love, and the more we behold Him, the more closely we become changed into His image, and the result is that thankfulness is expressed every hour. Who would not praise Thee, O Lord, and glorify Thy holy name? The law of God, which so many cannot bear to hear named, is the proclamation of His pure and holy character. He gave His holy precepts to the human family because He loved them. In this law is found His own testimony of Himself. It is presenting to the world the holy, just, and good laws of His government. And it is our testimony that Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father, has taken upon Himself the penalty of the law which I have transgressed. I will no longer remain in transgression. I will return my allegiance to God. I will not only preach, but practice the word of life. I will represent the character of Jesus Christ to the world. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Will we not be able to persuade the silent lips and voices to sing of His praises? Revelation 5, verse 9-14. Let us sing songs of heaven here, and then we can join the heavenly choir above.